Good morning to this service.
Morning.
I've got an important thing to read out first. Bands of marriage. I publish the bands of marriage between Matthew James Byron Wilson, a single of this parish, and Emily Stroud, single of this parish. If any of you know cause or just impediment why these two persons should not be joined together in holy matrimony, ye are to declare it. This is the first time of asking. Thank you very much. Now, Rhoda would like to come up and talk to us a little bit.
Morning. I know we're all very short of helpers for cleaners, but I'm afraid I'm going to add another plea for a helper, and that's for the creche. So the creche runs with Tiger Club, and we are desperately short. We have three people on the rota, and it's one a Sunday, and we're not doing the first Sunday of the month, but that still means if we just had one or two more people, it would only be once a month. And if anybody would like to know more about it, I'll stay at the back at the church at the end of the service, and then I shall also be having a cup of coffee after that, if anyone wants to know more. But it's not onerous. There's no preparation beforehand. You just turn up at the hall and get out a little rug and a few boxes of toys, and then you just have to be prepared to have a little sing-song with the children and play with any little ones and possibly join in a craft activity and then put the toys away at the end. So if anybody could just think about that, that would be really helpful. And there's no age restriction.
Thank you very much. Now, there's one of two notices that I'll just highlight. If you look at your notice sheets, notice that the morning prayer at 8:30 and the evening prayer at 5 p.m. will be resuming tomorrow, Monday to Thursday. Harvest supper at the Village Hall on Saturday, the 30th September. Please call Gail to reserve your place. Light lunches to be held on the last Monday of the month, starting on the 25th of September. The Debenture Support Group will be meeting on Thursday, the 7th of September. Heritage Weekend, 8th to the 10th of September. The One Can Trust drop-off point at the Eden Centre from September. And there's details of what is useful for them to have there on your sheet. Thirsty Thursday on the 7th of September begins. In the Red Lion, a gentlemanly invitation commencing at 8 p.m. St. Margaret's Church cleaning. Please would somebody consider joining the rota. It covers 2 weeks, but there are present, there are only three people on it. We ought to think about that. St. Margaret's Churchyard tidy up. Work party on Saturday the 16th of September from 10 p.m. Contact David Winder if you want to know any more details. St. Margaret's Tiger Club will start on Sunday the 10th of September. That's about right. Art begins on Wednesday, Thursday, and crafty ones on Friday. Thank you very much. So I'd like to start with a prayer for our benefice. It's on your sheet there. Say it together. Almighty God, we thank you that you are leading our benefice into a new season of our shared life together. We pray for our ministry team, for Samuel, our vicar, Oh, Graham, Mary, and together they lead us in worship and prayer. We pray for our church wardens, David, Catherine, Oliver, and Paul. Be with them and our PCCs as they serve you faithfully by supporting our churches. We pray also for ourselves, asking that you will be with us in our lives in such a way that our communities of Penn and Tyler's Green may see a glimpse of your love made known to others through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. Now we take up our sheets. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the day the Lord has made. And we stand and sing our first hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Confession. Are we perfect?
No.
No, we're not perfect. We need to be forgiven. Before God, with the people of God, I confess my brokenness to the ways I wound my life, the lives of others, and the life of the world.
May God forgive you, Christ renew you, and the Spirit enable you to grow in life. Before God, with the healing of God, we confess our brokenness, to the ways we wound our hearts, the lives of others, and the life of the world.
So may God forgive us, Christ renew us, and the Spirit enable us to grow in love. Amen. And the collect for today. Almighty God, you search us and know us. May we rely on you in strength and rest, on you in weakness, now and in all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now Jean and Catherine will come and read the Bible to us.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that, though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, and I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose as I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, chapter 12, beginning to read at verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. And now we stand and sing hymn 1163, All to Jesus I Surrender. 1163.
Thank you.
Please be seated. A reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 21 to 28. From that time on, Jesus began to explain his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get me behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, and you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his glory with his angels. Then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." In the gospel lesson for last week, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" The disciples said that some of the people thought that Jesus was the son of was John the Baptist, the great contemporary prophet. Others thought Jesus might be Elijah or Jeremiah, come back to life. But then Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus commended Peter for this answer and said that it had come from God. Then he said, "I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." Then, practically in his next breath, Jesus told his disciples that he was going to die, and that great religious men of the nation were going to kill him. We stop a minute and think about that. Jesus was the Messiah. He had just let his disciples know that. Then he had said that he must die. That might not seem crazy to us because we know the rest of the story. We know about the cross, but we also know about the resurrection. We know about Good Friday, but we also know about Easter. But it sounded crazy to Peter. Peter didn't know what to make of this crazy announcement by Jesus that he was the Messiah, but that he must die. Was he just having a bad day? He had recently been engaged in controversy with the powerful Pharisees. Did it suddenly occur to him that they might try to kill him? Was he afraid? Peter didn't know what was going on. But that didn't mean Peter didn't have anything to say. One thing you could always depend upon, Peter always had an opinion, and he seldom kept his opinion to himself. So Peter took Jesus aside, and with his voice kept low so that the disciples don't hear, Peter said, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But Jesus responded, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you're not letting your mind on things of God, but on things of men." What's happening? Peter, who was a rock only a few verses ago, is now a stumbling block. And then Jesus said this, and this affects us. These are the words that Jesus intended to be heard by his disciples at that time and through all time. These words outline what Jesus expects of us, tell us how Jesus wants to live. Listen to what Jesus says. "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what will a man give in exchange for his life?" So what does Jesus require of us? Do we really need to die for Jesus? For most of us, the answer will be no. But we shouldn't dismiss the possibility. Many Christians, beginning with several of the apostles, have been faced with denying Jesus or being killed. Many Christians have died at the hands of their persecutors. That wasn't just true of the first century. It's also true in the 21st century. Christians are being persecuted and killed today in many places because of their faith. Christians in this country face opposition that expands every year. Just listen to the BBC. Many Christians have served Christ in dangerous places. Missionaries in primitive lands come to mind, and urban missionaries serving in the inner cities, and chaplains serving on the battlefields. Elizabeth Elliot was one of these missionaries. She and her husband Jim were serving in Ecuador, when Jim and four other men tried to contact the members of the Akur tribe. Unbeknownst to them, tribal members were observing them from the jungle. They attacked the missionaries suddenly and viciously, killing all five men. Elizabeth continued her service in Ecuador and wrote a book, Beyond the Gates of Splendor, in which she told the story of her husband and the five other men. This book has been made into a film by the same name. In a particularly moving scene, Frank Drown, a missionary pilot, says that the five missionaries had guns, but had vowed not to use them against the tribes. They explained, they're not ready for heaven, and we are. What a testimony to their faith. At the 100th anniversary of the arrival of missionaries, Christians gathered to celebrate from that part of Zaire that was once called the Belgian Congo. The festivities last all day with music, preaching, food and conversations. Many reminisced about the early days and praise God for the progress of the gospel and the church. Near the end of the long programme, a very old man stood to give a speech. He said that he would soon die, that he needed to tell something, someone, to tell something that no one else knew. If he didn't tell, his secret would go to him to the grave. He explained that when the first white missionaries came, his people didn't know whether to believe their message or not. So they devised a plan to poison the missionaries. Slowly and secretly, and watch them die. One by one, the children and adults became ill, died, and were buried. It was when his people saw how these missionaries died that they decided to believe their message. The missionaries never knew what was happening. They didn't know they were being poisoned. They didn't know why they were dying. They didn't know they were martyrs. They stayed and died because they trusted Jesus. And it was the way they died that taught others how to live. When Jesus talked about his disciples losing their lives on his behalf, he knew that some of the disciples would indeed be martyred for their faith. But he also knew that some would not. Jesus requires self-denial, but self-denial will mean one thing to one person and another thing to another person. But in every case, Christian self-denial will involve some sort of personal sacrifice. In every case, it will involve some service in the name of Christ. For James Calvert, self-denial meant being a missionary in the Fiji Islands in a time that was dangerous. The captain of the ship took Calvert to these islands, tried to dissuade Calvert from going, telling him that leaving the ship would mean certain death. And Calvert responded, "We died before we came here." For a Christian surgeon who was a member of church in Hollywood, self-denying meant giving up his practice to go to Korea to set up a practice as a medical missionary. Sometime after the surgeon had moved to Korea, his pastor went to Korea to visit him. He watched as his friend operated on an 8-year-old child. The operation took 3 hours, and it was just one of the surgeries that the doctor would perform that day. After the surgery was completed and the child was stabilized, the doctor and pastor got together for a few minutes to talk and to relax. The pastor asked, "How much would you have received in that operation at home?" The doctor answered, $500 to $750 is the going rate. That was many years ago, so we're now talking about thousands of dollars in today's currency. So Evan said, "How much for this one?" The doctor said, "Oh, a few cents." A few cents and the smile of God. Then the doctor put his hand on Lewis Heaven's shoulder and said, "But man, this is living." Jesus said, "Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it." Put it this way, if we're living for ourselves, if we're focused on what we can get out of life, our lives may be hollow and unhappy. But if we're living for Jesus and for others, if there's a giving dimension, a service dimension to our lives, then Jesus will help us find more satisfaction and happiness than we ever thought possible. Listen to this poem. I don't know his author's name, but we can see what he's trying to say. He said, "I counted pounds while God counted crosses. I counted gains while he counted losses. I counted my worth by things gained in store, but he sized me up by the scars that I bore. I coveted honours and sought for degrees. He wept as he counted the hours on my knees. And I never knew till one day at a grave how vain are the things that we spend time to save." But we can change that. All we need to do is to spend a little more time centered on God and neighbor, and a little more time on our knees, and a little less time centered on self. And perhaps it's as simple as that. Perhaps if we will lose our life for Jesus' sake, at the end of the day, we will be able to say, "But man, this is living." Amen. And now we stand for our next hymn, which is 434. Is that right? Yes. "O love that will not let me go." Be seated. And Deborah now will come and pray for us and with us.
Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Lord, we thank you that you stand before us, showing us the way to go if only we will let you take the lead. Help us to evaluate the true worth of those things we pursue. And when sin and worldly values tempt us to falter, put our hand in yours to guide us through the darkest places. Forgive us when we fall short, and give us the faith to complete our journey, knowing the glory which lies beyond. We pray that we may reflect your example to others, and they in turn to us, giving each other encouragement as we follow where you take us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we reflect on the words of St. Paul in our New Testament reading this morning. You call us to be devoted to one another in brotherly love, but we are all too aware of how the destructive side of our human nature still pits nation against nation and people against people. God of peace and justice, we pray for all those caught up in conflict. Draw near to them in their fear and need, and give discernment and compassion to those with power to make decisions that affect the lives of others. We pray for strength and courage for those seeking to bring relief to the victims of war. We give thanks for those who are delivering medical and other aid in dangerous situations, and for those who are doing what they can to facilitate the plight of refugees. Help us to be generous with our response to the needs of others in these desperate times. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask for your blessing on our own community, our homes, place of work, schools and church. We think at this time of our young people who are returning to or making new beginnings in schools, universities and work. Be with them at this time. Guide and support them as they take their next steps in life's journey. We pray that you will guide and strengthen Samuel, Graham, David, and Mary, and all who hold positions of leadership or responsibility in our fellowship. God of mission, who alone brings growth to your church, send your Holy Spirit to give vision to our planning, wisdom to our actions, and power to our witness. Help our church to grow in numbers in spiritual commitment to you and in service to our local community. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Lord, we ask that you draw close to those in need of your healing touch at this time, those who are unwell, lonely, fearful, all who are facing any kind of trial. From our notice sheet, we pray particularly for Oliver Heal, and for Amanda and Caden and their families, and in a short moment of silence, anyone else who is on our heart this morning. Help us to be alive to their needs and to reach out in any way we can. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we bring before you all those who have passed away in recent days or whose anniversary falls at this time. We thank you for their lives among us and ask for your comfort on those who grieve their loss. This morning, we bring before you the loved ones of Pat Hoare and Brian Clark, whose funerals will take place in our churches this week. As we contemplate the new life promised to us in your death and resurrection, give us all hope to look beyond earthly trials to the glories of your kingdom. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And now we join together in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Deborah. And now let us stand and we say together our faith in Christ. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in earth and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And now our final hymn, Lift High the Cross, 1418, 1418. Lift High the Cross.
Lift high the cross and love.
Now we face each other across the aisle. We say together, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. And so, Lord Jesus Christ, you have taught us what we do for the least of our brothers and sisters, we also do for you. Give us the will to be the servant of others, as you were the servant of us all, and gave your life and died for us, but are alive again and reign now and forever. Amen. So go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.
Coffee time.